This is a podcast from Minute Media.
To Rum Buncher Radio. Had our draft day special this morning, but now we are back to break down the first pick for the Pirates in the 2022 MLB first year player draft. It was number 4 overall this year. We had number 1 last season, but the Pirates feeling like they got a guy with number 1 stock, number 1 potential. Termar Johnson will be a Pittsburgh Pirate, barring that he signs and everything goes well here in the coming weeks. But what a pick, gentlemen. This is a guy that had even slid to the betting favorite on certain Vegas sites this morning, a guy that easily could have gone number 1 to the Orioles, one of maybe the most steady high school bats in the draft, middle infield. And I know, positionally, we might be talking about a few different positions here for Termar Johnson. But as we get into it tonight, guys, just your thoughts, your first take here is Termar Johnson will now be a Pittsburgh Pirate.
The Pirates got probably the best – pure hitter on the board. So it's hard to be disappointed in that. I'm very excited about the pick. We talked about it on our last show, leading up to the draft, that there's being a lot of dots connected to those two sides meeting. And, it's actually interesting on MLB Network. They, right before the first pick was announced, they said they saw Johnson get a phone call and walk away. And I obviously then, the first pick happened and I looked at my wife and I said, I bet you that was the Pirates. Because when they found out he wasn't going to the Orioles, they knew he probably wasn't going those next two picks. And, probably was, right? Just a dynamic guy, you can see that in his personality already, like just checks all the boxes.
I felt coming into the draft, obviously Drew Jones, I feel like most people would agree, was the best probably overall talent, highest ceiling in this draft. But I had Termar Johnson as my number 2 player on the board. And, I said it earlier in the day on Sunday on Twitter when it really looked like Johnson was getting connected to the Pirates. I said, man, if they can land Johnson, I'll be over the moon. And that's exactly what happened. It's a great pick for the Pirates. Like Nick said, you're talking probably the best pure hitter in the draft. Kylie McDaniel on ESPN was saying right before Baltimore picked that in the last 5 to 10 minutes, he was hearing a lot of Termar Johnson's number 1 overall pick. And he compared that very similar to what happened last year with Henry Davis. So it did seem for a second that maybe Johnson was going to kind of pop up out of nowhere and go number 1 overall, but he didn't. And once Baltimore made their pick, I got excited because Texas had long been tied to taking a college bat and they went the college route, not the route anyone expected. But I knew at that point that one of Termar Johnson or Drew Jones was going to be on the board there at number 4. Like I said, in my opinion, Johnson is the second highest ceiling in this draft behind Jones. Just a tremendous pick for the Pirates. And hey, it'll be a lot of fun in a couple of years watching 6'7" O'Neill Cruz and 5'8" Termar Johnson teaming up to turn 6'4" double plays.
He's a left-handed bat. That just, again, we're seeing how that can be a game changer for the Pirates at playing at home. So, that's just another little thing that, just adds to the upside of his offensive potential. Like Marty said, outside of Drew Jones, but honestly, I think Drew Jones just had more of the overall package, right? Like Termar Johnson, they're calling him one of the best hitters they've ever scouted in the last decade. Like, very excited to see what this kid can do.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it is an extremely exciting pick here. The Pirates do get him at number 4. It feels kind of like last year. Marcelo Meyer slid to 4. Yeah. Red Sox were able to get him there. And this is a kid, too, that we know will be able to move through the organization rather quickly compared to a lot of these high school bats. When do we expect to get our first taste of Termar Johnson at the big league level? And, position-wise, where do you guys expect him to start? Is second base the long-term role there?
First and foremost, we got to get him signed. But he also seems very, willing, ready to sign. Like I said, it looked like he got a phone call. So probably a deal already worked out. Jonathan Mayo of MLB Pipeline actually mentioned that in his mock draft that, you know, he heard they were potentially cutting a deal. So, you know, that could be a really good thing also for the Pirates as, you know, this draft continues. In terms of Johnson's upside, you know, you're looking – they draft him as a shortstop, but we know the Pirates have plenty of other players who can play shortstop, you know. So they're going to put him there probably to start because of the position and to see what they have in him, you know. But eventually, you know, they'll probably move him to second base and kind of go from there. You know, I think he could probably shift into the outfield if needed, the athleticism. Not sure in terms of the arm, you know, but at the end of the day, it's just about getting that bat in the lineup. So,
yeah, and one other thing, too, with the shortstop conversation. You know, and Jeff Passan interviewed him on ESPN. He said to him, I said, you know, you're going to join a really talented infield that already has Key Brian Hayes and O'Neill Cruz in it. Where do you see yourself? Do you think wind up second base? And he made no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He wants to play shortstop, which is good to see. It's good to see them have that drive, have that motivation. Now he also then came back and said, most importantly, I want to win a World Series ring, and I will do whatever the team wants me to do to help us win that ring. But he personally wants to stick it short and – you know, that's not a bad thing to have a guy want to have that desire. Like, look at Starling Marte coming through the minors, was always a center fielder, always a great center fielder. And then when he got to the majors, moved to left field for Andrew McCutchen and took it in stride. So it seems like we could see a very similar situation there shake out with Johnson and O'Neill Cruz.
That's kind of what the Braves did with Albies. Also, because they had Swanson, so then Albies was always a shortstop prospect, and then they moved them to second. So, yeah, I mean, it's a path that has worked. And, you know, like you said, it's a bridge you cross when you have to. Right now in the lower minors, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for him to play shortstop, get those reps at shortstop. And, you know, like Marty said, it sounds like, you know, he's going to do everything he can to be the best fielder possible. So whether it's at shortstop or second base down the road, you know, hopefully this – you know, he puts in the work like he's saying, and it pays off.
Yeah. Can you imagine that infield if he does become the second baseman? You have Key Bryant at third, O'Neill Cruz at shortstop, Termar Johnson, then, you know, maybe Henry Davis moves to first base. You know, even if he's the catcher in that situation, Indy Rodriguez, whoever.
I'll just say Horton.
Yeah, let's see. We got to keep you updated as well as we continue through the draft. Cade Horton goes at number 7 to the Cubs. Jacob Berry went at number 6 to the Marlins. We're seeing a few guys slide up here in the Nationals. At number 5 took Elijah Green as well. I just can't explain how excited I am about this pick. And I know Pirates fans everywhere are excited. And Marty had it. I mean, he texted us this morning when we woke up, you know, told us he wouldn't be able to make our preview episode, but said Termar Johnson is my pick. So Marty looked into his crystal ball on that one, but it's been a weird start to this draft, guys. I mean, it's been exciting. It's been fun. Jackson Holliday, the son of Matt Holliday, goes number 1 overall. You know, and then we see Drew Jones, obviously fingers crossed for a couple picks there, at least that Drew Jones would slide a little bit. And then the Rangers stun everybody and end up taking Kumar Rocker. Let's talk about the first pick and then kind of work down the list. You know, what led up to the Pirates taking Termar Johnson at number 4, Marty, to get us started, just kind of your thoughts on Holliday going to number 1 overall.
Definitely was surprised. I expected Drew Jones to go number 1 overall, and if not Drew Jones, like we said, Termar Johnson. Interesting pick for the Orioles. Obviously, tremendous pedigree there and tremendous genes with his dad. And he comes from just one of the best baseball families in America. So the skill set, the work ethic, the know-how, all of that is definitely there with Jackson Holliday. But yeah, that pick surprised me a little bit. But you know, you look at how good of a job the Orioles have done in recent years of really building that farm system back up, and now you're seeing the major league level. Mike Elias, their general manager, worked in Houston's front office during their rebuild, so it's a front office that knows what they're doing. So even though it was a bit of a out of left field a little bit as a pick, it's tough to criticize or question that front office right now too much.
Yeah, you know, Holiday, I was surprised too. I didn't think he was going to be in play at one. I didn't think he would be there for the Pirates at four. But it really didn't. It seemed, you know, more likely at two or three potentially. I know you were saying Texas being connected to college, but I think it was one of those if people were assuming if Holiday was there, they wouldn't be able to pass on. If the Orioles went college at one overall, which, you know, some people thought was in play, but instead they went with Holiday. And, you know, they said it best on the network here. They, you know, mentioned that the Orioles have done a really good job of putting together their farm system, and, you know, they were in a position to take who they thought was the best pure player in the draft. And, you know, it's hard to argue with the pedigree of him. So, you know, I think the Orioles, you know, got the player they wanted, and, you know, definitely someone that, you know, I would have been just as excited about if we would have got at four.
Yeah, would have been a fine pick at number four. Obviously, Drew Jones was kind of the chip that I think everybody wanted to see slide down to that number four slot. He went at number two. And then number three, the Rangers got on the board there. And this is, you know, when, as Pirates fans, I think we knew that we would probably see somebody a bit older, probably a college guy. You know, Kumar Rocker, now done with college, played indie ball this past year, this summer currently, really, and played in five games there. Did well and looked dominant. Did not expect this, though, of course, as we saw Jeff Passan tweet about 2 or 3 minutes before the pick that the Rangers may do something shocking, you know, and that Kumar was probably going to go a lot higher than we were originally expecting him to. He does, obviously, at number three. What was your guys' first thoughts as you saw this pick come in?
I mean, yeah, I saw that Passan tweet. I sent it to you guys, and I was like, is it the Pirates? Because, like, we were looking at them last year so heavily. I was like, I really kind of hope not, because I was like, maybe at 36. Yeah. We talked about it again before the draft. Very polarizing talent. You know, Fangraphs had him at number 60 on their board. And then he goes number three overall. So it's crazy. You know, they mentioned how that Texas probably, you know, obviously had a good rapport with him after being on Leiter all last year as well. So I think it's a good fit for him. And, you know, I'm happy for him after going through what he went through last year with the Mets. I was very surprised. And, you know, I like those kind of surprises in the draft, because it just pushes other players down the board, hopefully.
It was certainly a surprise. I did not expect Kumar Rocker to go that high at all. It's definitely a gamble by Texas. There's still a lot of questions about that shoulder and about his medicals. Good for him, though. You know, after everything that happened last year, went from – 2 years ago at this time, we were talking about him probably slam dunk number one overall pick in last year's draft. So to go from that to not even be able to get a deal done coming out of the draft due to concerns about your health and various other things, you know, good for him to see him land in a spot where, you know, even if that shoulder isn't there, even if things don't work out for him on the baseball side of things, the guy's going to have a degree from Vanderbilt and a couple $1 million signing bonus sitting in the bank. So he and his family will still be taken care of moving forward. So good, always good to see that happen.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, it was a really cool moment. Just kind of his story, his journey, like you guys are talking about. You know, it comes full circle here. He does go number three. Still going to be interested to see what he signs for, what that looks like now, you know, in his evaluations and everything. Round two here for Kumar, but he does go number three. That made Termar Johnson available, and the Pirates make the pick there. Really somewhat of an obvious choice. You know, I think somebody said that in our group message, even this was the right choice at number four. He was around, you know, and he had been mocked up so high and you know, just watch the tape. This kid's hands are unbelievable. I think Rafael Devers is kind of the most, you know, prevalent cop we're seeing to this point. But as we kind of wrap it up here on this first pick for the Pirates, early first round, your guys' overall thoughts and, you know, just kind of a preview of the rest of this first round and into that competitive balanced round, you know, where the Pirates will be picking at number 36 now with their second selection.
Well, one more thing I'll add on Johnson. He just wrapped up his first, like, quick little media session or whatever since being drafted. And when he was asked what the Pirates are getting in him, he said they're getting the best player in the draft and a ring. So let's go, baby. I am fully aboard the Tamar Johnson train already. But no, moving forward, you know, it'll be curious to see the Pirates at 36. I would not be surprised at all to see them go college arm there. Charrington has always, since he's been in Pittsburgh, has liked college arms, as we saw in his first draft, some of the older guys. Now, last year, obviously, kind of bucked that trend a little bit, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Pirates go college arm at 36, especially taking Johnson here. You know, Johnson's not necessarily an overslot guy at four, but he's not going to be cheap to sign either. You go college arm at 36, maybe underslot it there a little bit, and give yourself some more money to play with going into the day tomorrow.
That's exactly what we talked about on our pre-show. You know, if we went prep at four, that, you know, they might have to go a little and save a little on that pick at 36. You know, if they want to be aggressive with their later picks on day two. So I'm right there with you, Marty. I think a college arm is very likely. There's a lot of college arms that are projected in that range. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we see Kumar Rocker go number three, and I thought he would be one of the ones at 36. So you just don't know what else is in store for the rest of this first round and who might slide down the board. So it's definitely exciting. It's a great start to the draft after, like, you know, having such a strong draft last year. You know, I'm really liking what they're putting together. And it's just, you know, it's a little funny because everyone was very much set on Mayer last year and criticized the Davis pick at first. And they end up getting, you know, a middle infielder who might be a better, you know, according to them, is a better pure hitter than Mayer. So, so far, so good.
It is exciting. It's a fun pick at number four there. Like you said, just such a pure hitter and a guy that we hope can move through the minors correctly if he's signed. Got to wait on that contract to be signed up here. But we're going to keep you updated on that. We, of course, are going to keep you updated throughout the rest of this draft. We'll come back and kind of recap like we've done here for that competitive balance round, second, third, and so on. But the Pirates like Tremar Johnson at number four overall. For Marty Leap and Nick Caparoso, my name is Trey Andy. Guys, go to rumbunter.com and check out the articles we got going right now on the MLB draft, on Tremar Johnson, and everything else going on Pirates in the world of Pirates baseball as well. You know, it doesn't even feel like they had a game today on days like these, but they did get a win over the Rockies. We're going to have regular episodes to recap all that stuff coming up here in the next few weeks as well. So stick with us and follow us on Twitter at Rumbunter. The MLB draft is in full session now. Tremar Johnson is a Pittsburgh Pirate to be. Have a great night, everybody. Let's go Bucks.